Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's many times in life, I think, when we prefer a full reading, if we were to have a gauge on things. Certainly the literal fuel gauge in our cars, we love to drive away from the gas station with it full, especially if it's been pegged on E for just about enough. We feel it coasting in there, right? Or we feel thankful for the full feeling we have as we push away from the table after a delicious meal at noon or in the evening. Now the desire for that fullness, of course, follows us throughout our lives, and it follows us even to church. We rejoice in a full sanctuary of worshipers. We would celebrate full enrollment in educational programs, a full fellowship hall for Bible study, and we're relieved when a project has a full list of volunteers. We eagerly anticipate a fully met budget each December as well. But the reality of our lives is that things are often less than full, aren't they? The fuel tanks need to be refilled. Shortly after one meal, or sometimes at my house during the meal, we wonder about the next because we know we'll feel empty and hungry again. The sanctuary isn't always full, nor is Bible study or Sunday school. The budget for the month may not be fully funded, and then each January the worry rises again. Even more challenging than some of these discomforts or inconveniences of the physical tanks left unfilled is sometimes the emotional emptiness we feel in our lives as well, isn't it? I feel so empty. Maybe the lament that you've said or heard as someone has mourned the loss of a loved one. Maybe you've been abandoned by a spouse or you've had rejection in your life from a friend or family member. When we judge ourselves or our church or any area of our life by a metric of looking or feeling full like we think or feel we're supposed to, we can just be left empty. Even deeper, though, God's word calls out to us about a spiritual emptiness that we may have. Matthew's gospel tells of Jesus' encounter with the rich young man. This man is described as one with great possessions. His life was full of things and stuff. And on top of that, at least in his own eyes, he was full of righteous deeds. He came to Jesus with a list of good things he had done, the ways he had kept God's law. His life was full of possessions, prestige. He was probably well looked up to in the eyes of many in the community. But then Jesus asked this young man to take what he had and give it to the poor and to follow him. And the man couldn't walk away from his earthly fullness. From the possessions he had stored up and from the fullness of even his good works and his standing in the eyes of others, he was not willing to give it all up to feel empty and be filled by Jesus. And so he showed the true emptiness of his life. He's not much different, I don't think, from you and me. Our schedules may be full. Our homes may be full of every modern goods and convenience. Our garages may be full of vehicles and who knows what else, if yours is a storage area, kind of like mine sometimes. We may be filling our retirement coffers and bank accounts. And yet our lives may be empty. And we see it with the rich young man. We know that without Jesus, emptiness prevails. The Apostle Paul talks about his former life in a number of places in the Scriptures. He had authority in the synagogue. He had significance in his heritage. He had a well-rounded education. He was equally comfortable in the Jewish society and the Greco-Roman society around him. If anyone would have been full in his former life, it would have been him by the standards of society. Time and again, he says he looks back, and he realized that his former life, his life without Jesus, full as it seemed to have been, was empty. But then by grace, through faith, he received the fullness of the riches of God's grace for him in Jesus. Whenever people met Jesus in the Scripture, even some fishermen, Peter and James and John and Andrew, and that's full of fish, but Jesus came and said, you have something full there, but I have a better fullness for you, a fullness of my grace. having received his presence with it, I have received his grace for them. Our homes and our calendars can be full. Our lives can even be full of good works and good thoughts and good things for the people around us. But without Jesus, there's only true emptiness, both now and forever. We've heard or said the saying, you can't take it with you. And it's true, but how often do we let it impact our daily life and impact the decisions we make on a regular basis? All the things we look to fill us in the here and the now will one day be stripped away from us. And if those things are all that we've had, then all we'll be left with is what's really plagued us deep down all along, the deep emptiness of sin and death. We can fill our lives with stuff and calendars and works in an effort to ignore that emptiness and shove it down in our hearts. But that empty reality and empty eternity will be ours if that's all we have. And so the good news for you and me today, the good news for the world today, is the fullness of God's grace that comes for you in Jesus. He knows your emptiness. He saw your emptiness despite how full we put our lives. Jesus knows the emptiness we have. And so he says, from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Jesus, God in the flesh, the Word become flesh to dwell among us, the fullness of God living and dwelling in human form, now gives the fullness of his grace to you, to fill your life with his goodness and his grace, the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life. In Jesus, God emptied himself so that you might receive the fullness of his grace, the fullness of his righteousness, the fullness of all of his goodness for you. This journey in the flesh is described briefly in the Gospel of John. John describes how the God who rightly could have been full of wrath and full of condemnation against sin is described as full of grace and truth and chose of his own free will to come down and fill us with grace. In the gift of his Son, the Father grants you the full forgiveness from the emptiness of your sin. Jesus' whole earthly ministry is in some terms described as a ministry of fullness. The first sign of Jesus' power and authority as the Son of God at the wedding in Cana. A family was about to feel empty because they had no more wine to give to their guests. That was going to be a very shameful thing for them. Jesus took the jars of water and miraculously turned it into good wine for the wedding guests to fill the party, to fill the wedding feast with joy and life again. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus filling diseased bodies with health and vitality. He fills empty hearts, those emptied by grief, with the joy of seeing family members raised from the dead. He fills the panicked disciples in the calming of the storm with his presence and his word. Everywhere, Jesus found the emptiness of sin and death and their effects. He brought the fullness of his grace to bear. Ultimately, every action of Jesus was part of his journey to the cross, where he emptied himself. The one full of grace came to empty himself so that that grace might be yours, so that his goodness might be known in your life. He emptied himself fully in his sacrificial death for you and for the whole world, his whole body emptied of life as he cried out, "It is finished." Every part of his being fully emptied, pay for your sins and the sins of the world, a full and complete sacrifice for all. But so that you could know grace upon grace, so that you could know grace overflowing, grace abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine, God filled Jesus' body with life again in his resurrection from the dead, so that you might not only have the forgiveness of sins, but the promise of eternal life, the promise of resurrection when Jesus comes again. He makes God fully known to you when you can see the fullness of who he is in eternity, face to face, grace upon grace, in the fullness of the eternal life he has stored up for you as his people. And from his fullness, John writes, we have all received grace upon grace. Many of you received this grace for the first time as infants, held over the baptismal font, physically small, not yet fully mentally developed, but you received the fullness of God's grace, your sins fully forgiven, right there in the washing of water and the Word. When you come and kneel at this rail to receive the body and blood of Christ from this altar, it's not a meal that'll fill your bellies, right? A small wafer and a little sip of wine leaves you hungry for lunch afterwards. But it's a full feast of God's grace. The fullness of Christ's body and blood give you all the grace that God has to give you, grace upon grace, grace overflowing into your life for eternal life for you. We've gathered today with all sorts of experiences from the past week. Guilty consciences, complicated lives, strained relationships, fearful hearts, every other malady of body, mind, or soul perhaps represented here today, or at least in the church throughout the world. But then the word is spoken. I forgive you all your sins. God is with you to keep you holy and blameless. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There is no sin that does not receive God's grace. There is no malady that is not soothed with the word of God, that he is with you in the middle of your struggle and in the middle of your trial. His grace and forgiveness are full and free for you. And so when your life feels empty, we can take heed from 1 Thessalonians today and still rejoice. When rooms and sanctuaries are emptier than they once were, you can rejoice. You can rejoice always, because God's word is always there to give you God's full and free grace for you in Christ Jesus. Every time God's word is proclaimed and taught in this building, in Trinity, and in any other church building or home around the world, every time the sacraments are administered, God gives you his grace, filling the emptiness of your sin and death with his life and love for you and for all who hear it. By God's grace, the church is fully and totally a grace place. I don't know about you, but I'm not always so graceful. In my physical life, I'm sometimes clumsy, tripping over myself, but as Christians, we're not always so graceful either in our hectic daily routines. We step on each other's toes. We elbow each other in the way in our sins against each other and against our neighbors, in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. We are sometimes graceless in our life. But in the middle of it all, God continues to give his grace to you and to everyone who hears it here. You are, by his grace, graceful. You are full of his grace for you. As you hear Christ proclaimed, he fills you with his grace. As 1 Thessalonians said today, he sanctifies you completely. He makes you holy. He keeps your whole being blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Church people aren't perfect, but they receive and share the perfect grace of Jesus. Yes, we're not perfect. We never will be. But we receive and we share the perfect grace of Jesus. And so each and every Christian, the whole church together, is declared by Jesus in Matthew to be the light of the world, a city shining on a hill. All of us in our various vocations, our stations in life throughout the week, our positions, our relationships, we're always called to let your light shine before others so that they see your good works, and maybe we could call them grace-filled works, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You see, as people see us giving one another grace upon grace, as we stumble and trip against each other in the church, but we deal with it in grace and love and humility towards each other, people see the grace of Jesus. As people trip over us and sin against us in our day-to-day lives, and we give them grace, they get to experience Jesus. They get to catch a glimpse of the grace of God for them. See, God's grace isn't there for us to keep it bottled up. At Trinity today, Mark Cook, our DCE, used the imagery of water being poured into a glass, but then overflowing. And we don't want to think it's like a water bottle that we get full of God's grace and then we can screw the cap on. Oh, my God.
Jesus wants it to overflow out of our lives into the lives of others, so that others might experience and know his grace for them through us. So who can you share that grace with this week? Maybe it's the coworker you left on bad terms with last week. Maybe it's your son or daughter who made a poor choice this weekend. Maybe it's your mom or dad who've been a little overbearing or harsh with you lately. Maybe it's one of the pastors who have done something or said something that hasn't been as gracious as they would have liked. But maybe in all reality, there's a person or situation yet to come this week that you have no knowledge of. And so go home today and pray for the Holy Spirit to work in your life. To work that when you meet that person, that situation, that you know what another reaction could be. You meet it in a graceful way. You meet it as one having received the full grace of Jesus today. And that grace can overflow out of your life into their life. They might see Jesus in you. They might see Jesus with you and know Jesus through you in that moment. Maybe the most familiar grace passage of all sums it up nicely. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has prepared grace upon grace for you. Grace for you to receive the full and free forgiveness of sins, the full and free promise of life everlasting with him. Grace upon grace. But he's also given you grace to give. From the fullness of Christ you have received, and you're called to declare and to live out that grace in your daily life. May his grace overflow into your life and through your life this week and always. In the name of Jesus, your Lord and Savior, full of grace upon grace for you. Amen.